Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? Luke Condor with a K.
Not bad.
Not bad. No hat today. No hat today, I've noticed.
I've had a bit of a headache. I think a sinusy headache sort of thing. And I just feel like the hat is adding extra pressure. Like, it's probably not, it's not changing anything, but just that I just need that. I need to feel the wind in my follicles.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes I'll just think, I can't be dealing with a hat today. Yeah, get it off. And I throw it off. I guess it's the equivalent of like when a woman takes off her bra at the end of a day.
It's exactly the same. I mean, it's similar shape, but the head. Yeah. But it's similar exactly
heads.
The same.
Similar head, similar shape, similar hairiness.
Yeah. I forgot to say, I was going to talk about this before we started recording, but you've been Twitch streaming.
Yeah.
Kat's been doing it as well. Mrs. Kat. She's been doing it a lot. I think she's doing it right now.
No way.
Yeah.
You'll have to let me know her deets so I can follow and watch some of her things. It's very early days for me. Like, I've not really had many people watching at any one time, but I just feel like if I just keep doing it, I guess it'll just possibly grow. And then if it doesn't, it doesn't matter, because I kind of do enjoy it. Even when there's like two or three people in there and everyone's kind of having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah. I mean, you're still playing games, aren't you? Like, it's not like, it's not like pushing yourself in the balls for entertainment of others. If no one watches, it's like, man, I've just pushed myself in the balls for an hour and a half. This is just playing games.
More people will watch that. I'm going to play some horror, actually. So if there are any listeners of the podcast,
any horror fans,
any podcast listeners who would like to watch some Twitch stream, is level_1, as in a bloody one, the level. I think I'm going to play Resident Evil Director's Cut next, because I think I've only ever played that once before, and it's got like a properly mad soundtrack.
Wait,
there's one.
Is this the one that was on the GameCube, or is this the one that's now on the?
No, this was the PS1.
Oh yeah, got you. Okay, yeah.
Director's cut of the PS1 game, and it's got a mad soundtrack, including a track when you go into like the basement kitchen or something like that, and it honestly just sounds like somebody is putting their elbow on a keyboard. It's proper like that.
That's
I'm like
a good impression of like a MIDI synth.
Yeah, it's a sound like that. My calling. I finally found my calling. So there's that. There we go. It'd be fun.
What were we talking about in news? Have we got any horror news or anything?
There's a couple of bits that I've noticed. Really quickly, just going to cover. A few films have been pushed back, obviously, because of the current worldwide events.
Yeah.
It looked like things were going to start being shown in August and September, but I think a lot of studios have decided too big a risk. So it does look like things like A Quiet Place 2 have been pushed back to April 2021, which I think is even later than... It's even more than a year later, I think. I think it was like March.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty mad. And things like Antlers, which I think was supposed to come out, that Guillermo del Toro produced horror, has been pushed to February 2021. And then probably, you know, every other film that you wanted to see. Although I think Candyman is still coming out in September. October. Sorry, that changed again.
Hope so.
Candyman in October. But then any film you've been, you know, itching to see probably isn't going to be with us for a while.
I got some horror news, actually. I don't normally have horror news. But
very nice.
I wouldn't say a friend of mine, but an acquaintance of mine has a horror movie coming out on Shudder. Rob Savage. Oh. He has like a Zoom call horror thing that he they made during the quarantine that Shudder picked up. He had that viral thing that went around where he was on a Zoom call and he pranked his friends. Like, he cut his camera. He said that there's a sound in the loft, and he somehow cut his camera and it had like a pre-filmed jump scare and pranked all his mates.
Oh,
and
yes.
Went kind of viral. So they made a full feature-length Zoom call film that's going on. I think it's called Host. I think it's going live on Shudder this week. That'd be interesting.
Sick. Nice. Acquaintances releasing films.
Yeah.
The dream. What else? Okay. So I didn't see much horror news, actually, to be honest. I probably missed something, seeing this has been 2 weeks since the last episode. I don't know if you saw this, but Simon Pegg and Nick Frost reuniting to hunt ghosts in an Amazon horror comedy series called Truth Seekers. I haven't actually watched the trailer yet, but it's like a horror comedy around about a three-person paranormal investigation team. And I've seen some images from it. And it does look, I think Malcolm McDowell's in it as well. And it looks like it could be pretty interesting, but that is out.
It looked like pretty soon, I think. It looked like I watched the trailer, and it looked like the halfway point between What We Do in the Shadows and Paul. You know, the Nick Frost and Simon Pegg film.
Yeah,
that kind
nice
of
nice combination there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could be good. I know they've kind of reunited. It seems like we always get a Simon Pegg, Nick Frost reunion in some way. There was that. What was that film from like last year or? God, I've forgotten it already. I didn't even watch
school
it.
School one. Was that they produced?
Yeah, the school one. Yeah, the bloody school one. They're both in that. So they seem to cross paths fairly regularly these days. So it's not as much of a big deal as perhaps it would have been before. Some sad news. John Saxon, star of Nightmare on Elm Street, Black Christmas, has passed away at the age of 83. So he is...
No, I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Also, when someone said he was in Enter the Dragon, I was like, no, he's not. Is he? And he is. He's in Enter the Dragon. And
now he's in from Dusk Till Dawn as well, apparently, here from listing. I think he's just one of the guys in the Titty Twister.
Yeah.
Twitty Twister. So rest in peace, John Saxon. And what else? What else have we got? I guess this is kind of like a what I've been watching thing.
Yeah.
And I guess I will talk about it. But Dave Franco's horror movie, his directorial debut, The Rental, it tops the weekend box office. I think in America maybe it was a drive-in theaters quite a lot in the US, and it's released on demand as well. So that's topped the box office over there with about £420,000.
Yeah.
So we've seen like a few horrors released in this time on demand and drive-through theaters, like recent weeks, like Relic and The Wretched, and they seem to be doing pretty well. People seem to be lapping them up, sucking them up nicely, which is nice. It's good to see horror still kind of thriving in these.
Do you think because we've been going through some hard times, some dark times,
uncertain times, as everybody likes to say?
Do you think
if I had a bingo card for someone saying uncertain times, I'd be on it.
Yeah
go on.
Do you think there'll be more horror movies as a sort of cathartic release for people? Or do you think people will be like, it's too dark now, it's too realistic?
I can imagine we'll get a lot of horrors kind of set in... Well, we'll probably get a lot of films set in lockdown. Not necessarily made in lockdown, but I'm saying set in lockdown.
Yeah.
In lockdown will be like a new... I guess setting for something for these stay at home, and I guess there's lots of potential for that, for you know, someone being stuck in the house, can't leave the house, and then going stir crazy in here. I'm sure there'll be like an influx of that, and I don't think people are going to think, oh, it's too close to home. I think people like that. People like when, you know, when bad things happen.
Could almost
a lot of people do say,
yeah,
oh, well, it feels like a film, this does, or I wonder when there's going to be a film made about this. You know what I mean? That's like one of the first things people say.
Yeah.
So apart from, ah, help me. Yeah. There we go. That is pretty much that. Have you been watching anything, Luke?
What have I been watching? The Truman Show. It was on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
It's not quite a horror movie, I suppose. But it's... I don't know. I mean, I've always had a soft spot for it. I think it's a great film. I think there's the bits where Ed Harris is talking through the sun. and he's like, what's his name? Harry Truman. Is it Harry Truman? Is about to break out. It's amazing little moment. Free Women I watched, which isn't the same as Little Women. Free Women is a 70s film.
Is it like Free Willy but with women?
Yeah, exactly. This free women are stuck in a box and this little guy has to help them out.
Little kid comes along. They jump over a wall into the ocean. It's emotional.
It's actually pretty good. It was Shelley Duvall. It's a Robert Altman film, and he made it based on a dream. Shelley Duvall and what's her name? Carrie.
Shelley Duvall pre Shining, yes.
I actually don't know the timeline. She seems much happier in this film, I'll tell you that.
Oh, right.
Shelley Duvall,
could be either. It's probably before then, if that's the case.
Sissy Spacek. That's who it is.
Yeah. Sissy.
And it's like if you've seen Lost Highway or those, there's a couple of David Lynch movies where characters change to different characters throughout the film. Mm-hmm. It's a similar sort of vibe to that, but a bit more dreamy. It's pretty good. It was got some kind of uncanny moments, but not necessarily horror. I watched Fellini's 8.5 because my friend had a Mubi subscription. Mubi is kind of like Shudder, but not art house films, more serious films, I guess. Highbrow is really highbrow films.
Highbrow, brows are up here.
Exactly, yeah.
Right there.
All the way up. That's on the fringe. On the fringe of cinema, that's why they call it that, because the brow is so high up.
True.
But it's Fellini's 8.5, which I've seen a few times. Which have you seen 8.5? It's a really weird film about a director trying to make a film. And it's like a weird, again, like dream logic sort of film. And then I watched Don't Breathe, which is not the same as those sort of films. Don't Breathe is a great time. I've seen it three times already, and it's still really gets me. There's moments in it are just really tense.
Yeah. I saw that for the first time on a plane, on like a tiny little Game Boy screen.
On a Game Boy screen? Game Boy Color?
Game Boy Color, yeah. Well, yeah, it had no backlight though, so every time the plane went past
the sun or
stars,
something. The sun. Yeah. I hate it when you're on the plane. You just can't, like the sunlight is on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, sunlight. Yeah, but that's good. I like that film. Who was that directed by again?
Fede Alvarez.
That's right. Yeah.
Alvarez. Yeah, yeah.
We haven't done Don't Breathe on this podcast, have we?
Have we not?
I feel like I've seen
a film a lot. It's usually because we've done a podcast about it, but maybe not. Yeah.
No, don't think so. Yeah. Nice. Anything else?
I think that's it. I think that is it. Yeah. What about you?
So I've watched a few things. I'll try and be pretty quick with all of them because it's been 2 weeks and I've had a bit of a crazy, crazy time in terms of watching films. So after watching today's film, House on Haunted Hill, I know we discussed before that this would be like a good triple feature because of the Dark Castle Entertainment remakes. We discussed before that 13 Ghosts, House on Haunted Hill, and Ghost Ship would be a good triple feature.
Is Ghost Ship a remake?
I don't think it's a remake, but it's like a Dark Castle Entertainment film that came out, like, they all came out pretty closely in a few years.
Yeah.
99, 2001, and 2002. So I thought I'd rewatch that because obviously it's got quite a iconic, I guess you'd say iconic, opening sequence. And that opening sequence, I seem to have completely misremembered it. I mean, like, the same thing happens, but in my brain, it happens somewhere else. Really strange.
Not on the ship. What do you mean? It's on the ship. It's on the ghost ship.
just happened somewhere else.
Carl Urban, but isn't it?
I seemed Carl Urban, but he's a quite a minor part, I guess. But despite the fact, I have really misremembered it, because there's like pretty much there's barely any blood and guts and gore. There aren't really that many like malevolent spirits. Like in my head, I'm thinking, oh yeah, there's loads of horrible ghosts in that attacking people. There aren't really. There's like one potential like malevolent spirit. There's like a good guy ghost, a little girl.
Yeah.
And then there's like a guy who's like the force of the, I can't ruin it, but then there's like a force of the ship, which is like collecting souls. But honestly, there aren't many like kills or like, I mean, there are a couple, but
I can't remember. It's just the only thing I remember is Carl Urban eating like worms.
Yeah. That's yeah. So they're eating some lovely food, and then suddenly he goes, oh, actually it's worms. And he goes, ah, oh, shit. Yeah. Pretty much like what we do in the shadows.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty awful. I also watched Wrong Turn. Just wanted to kind of remember that, because I remember enjoying it at the cinema.
Apparently, and the second one's pretty decent, like really decent.
Well, this is kind of what I did. So I didn't want to. Apparently, there's five sequels, so there are six Wrong Turns in total. Didn't know that.
That's all the way back to the right turn, isn't it?
That's all the way. Oh, take enough Wrong Turns, you end up back on a right turn, mate. And I didn't really want to watch the others. So I watched the first one. Proper cliche, kind of ridiculous, but nice and gory, lots of great kills. And then I decided to watch on YouTube these videos that basically sum up the rest of the films with the kill count. I don't know if you've ever seen this on YouTube, kill count.
No.
From...
I think so.
So let's have a look a second. It's from Dead Meat. And basically... there is a YouTube channel that does a kill count for every single horror film out there. Well, as many horror films out there as you can think of. And like the way they were killed and like the ratio of the kills, like male to female. And
yeah,
it's pretty cool. But Jay put me onto that. Jay joined us for, what episode did he join us for?
Pet Sam Double Bill.
Pet Sam Double Bill, yeah. He put me onto that. He said, have a look at this YouTube channel, and I did, and I've been enjoying it ever since. So yeah, I pretty much consumed the rest of the Wrong Turn films in that format, which isn't obviously classic.
Oh.
Also, I watched The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox, directed by Peter Jackson. I kind of forgot it was directed by Peter Jackson. It's a great film.
Yeah,
the effects are a bit wobbly.
Yeah, the faces coming out of the walls and stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't look right. That looks like PS1 graphics.
Yeah, Jake Busey, isn't it? I think is the
Jake Busey, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, it's great. I mean, would you call it a horror film? Kind of. I suppose you would.
Yeah.
Then I watched Halloween 2 and 3. Because I've seen 2, but I haven't seen 3.
You have watched a lot.
Yeah.
In a couple of crazy of the weeks. Witch.
So Halloween 2, I always find a bit boring, a bit uneventful. But, you know, it's Michael Myers stalking Laurie Strode in Haddonfield. So it's still entertaining to a degree. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, is when they tried to like do the sort of anthology thing, so no Michael Myers. And I think that's always kind of put me off, maybe why I haven't watched it before, but it's fun. It's pretty silly in places, but it's still a good time. And it's got like probably one of the best soundtracks. I think it's John Carpenter and somebody else.
Yeah.
But the soundtrack's insane. Really good.
Yeah.
Am I going to watch the rest of the Halloween movies? Probably not, because how many do we get? Then we get Return of Michael Myers, then 5, there's a 6, and then it like goes back with H2O and Resurrection.
Yeah. It's interesting. I always wonder about those kind of franchising. I wonder when the producers think the story's gotten out of hand now. At what point do they feel like we've lost the thread of what this thing is?
Yeah. It's like the story's got out of hand. Let's go back to basics. And then it just happens all again. It unravels.
Yeah.
And then the film that I mentioned earlier, which is Dave Franco's horror directorial debut, The Rental, which I watched. And I was really, really into this. Initially, I was a bit like, I'm not so sure. So think of like an Airbnb set. That's a setup, is it? It's an Airbnb. That's obviously like renting a house from somebody.
Yeah.
It's like a horror thriller, but it's like, it's really unpleasant. It keeps surprising you at every turn, because it's easy to like try and second guess a film like this. Well, why don't you do this? What if this happened? It's honestly got a good reason for everything to happen, and a good reason for other things not to happen. Like, why don't you call the police if this is happening?
Yeah.
There's a good reason why they're not calling the police. So it's a really smart film, I felt. Really good character-driven film as well. Alison Brie, isn't it? Dan Stevens.
That's his wife, isn't it? Dave Franco's wife.
Dave Franco's wife is Alison Brie, yeah. I think she's great, but she's pretty good in this.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
Dan Stevens isn't Dave Franco's wife, but I'm getting more and more impressed by him and everything I see him in.
Have you seen The Guest?
I have seen The Guest, yeah, and I think he's great in that.
Yeah.
But everything else was like, oh, Beauty and the Beast, is it? Oh, what's all this? Oh, Dan Stevens, he's in everything. But the last few things I've seen him in, I thought, he's got a lot of range.
Yeah, it's like vocal range. He's singing in that Eurovision song.
Yeah. I think he's really adaptable as well, like, because he just seems to slot into these. I mean, I suppose that's what an actor does, you know, slots into different roles.
Yeah, but him more than most. Like, he's done, like, more serious. He's also the Legion guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And apart from that, I've watched other stuff, but probably not stuff is worth talking about on the podcast. That sounds weird. That sounds like I'm just saying I've watched naughty movies, which I have. All 5 stars. That's pretty much that. And then there was this, which I watched probably about 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah. The name of this film, I just can't remember what it was called. House on Haunted Hill.
So when you messaged me yesterday, so I wasn't sure if it was a joke. It was a joke first. Was it a joke?
No, I just couldn't remember what the name of it was.
Like, so you messaged me to tell me that
I knew
going to watch it.
I knew the film. I knew exactly what it was. I just like...
You called it Haunting House Hill Hotel.
Yeah, I knew it was along those lines. Weirdly, as I watched it...
it is.
As I was watching it, I was like, mate, American Horror Story owes a lot to Dark Castle films. Like, the whole vibe of American Horror Story... They steal all of the sort of the scare tactics. The sounds are the same. The shaky head thing that they all got from Jacob's Ladder. But American Horror Story rips off of the Dark Castle films so hard. Which is weird because no one else did. Everyone else was like, nah, it's a bit cheesy. And American Horror Story were like, we're going to run with this. Yeah.
So obviously it's confusing because you've got The Haunting, you've got The Haunting of Hill House, you've got House on Haunted Hill. So it is confusing. I was confused for a second.
It's free.
It's three things. Those three things not together.
Also, The Haunting is The Haunting of Hill House. Like, that is another remake of that story. Yeah.
Yeah. a lot of people talk about early 2000s horror as like some sort of barren wasteland of like shit of like new metal soundtracks.
Well, yeah.
There is that. Yeah. But there's something. I don't know whether we've just hit a point now, 20 years later, where there's something. Like, these aren't, I wouldn't call them good films in any sense, like accomplished films or good stories, but there's something about it like that I just really like and I can't stop watching.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like, even as I said, like, I watch Ghost Ship. I would easily give that like a 4 out of 10. I watched 13 Ghosts, obviously, for the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know why I give that, but it was pretty low.
You know what, like, it is? They swing for the fences, these films. Like, they're just so bonkers. Like, there's just so much stuff going on, but they just go for it. They're not subtle at all.
I guess you would say, a bit mean, but you would say they're shit films, but they're like, despite being shit films, they're watchable. They're entertaining. You come away from it kind of... Yeah, that was shit, wasn't it? But like in a good way.
Maybe it's like a nice bomb. I mean, there's a lot of like art horror these days. So you kind of have to go in with a bit more patience. Whereas these films, like, no patience needed. It's like, we're just going to get started straight away. There's a wacky character who can talk to ghosts for some reason. There's an alcoholic. There's a Vincent Price looking dude with a mustache.
Yeah.
Captain Barbossa's in it. What else do you need?
Captain Barbossa.
By the way, I was thinking about this a lot whilst I was watching this film. Barbossa is better than Jack Sparrow. As a character on screen, I just think Barbossa's got such a, like, a... Although, I mean, don't get me wrong, Jack Sparrow's electrifying, but Barbossa, there's something about him.
I think Barbossa has got, like, the most interesting character arc or arcs in the Pirates franchise, because he's on one side, he's on the other side.
He's a royal captain person at one point, then he's a pirate madness. Again. Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
like, the, I mean, the plots are absolutely nonsensical.
You must start believing in Ghost Story. And it's Jeffrey Rush.
I'm pretty busy at the moment. Yeah, he's great.
Was that bit, me and Kat always like howl with laughter, where I think it's number three, which isn't a good one, but they've got the telescopes out. And Jack gets the massive one, and he's got a slightly bigger one.
Yeah. Next week contest.
Yeah.
Good stuff indeed. yeah. I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well, but 2000's horror. 2000's horror.
2000's horror, yeah. So shall I just... A little bit about this one. I think this has got so many recognizable faces from the early 2000s as well. People that we've already covered in various horror films already. So House on Haunted Hill is a 1999 American supernatural horror film directed by William Malone, starring Jeffrey Rush, Famke Janssen, Taye Diggs, Ali Larter, Bridget Wilson, Peter Gallagher, Chris Kattan. I've read everyone out, sorry. The plot follows a group of strangers who are invited to a party at an abandoned insane asylum where they are offered $1 million each by an amusement park mogul if they are able to survive the night. So this is the... remake of what year did the original one come out of this?
1959, I think.
1959. The remake of that. So, as we mentioned, it's Dark Castle Entertainment. I think it's their first film, the production company that went on to make quite a few things. But House on Haunted Hill, 13 Ghosts, Ghost Ship were the first three.
What happened? These three films, I think, are quite a strong little catalogue of films.
Especially box office wise, they must have made a lot, but they've done quite a lot. They did the House of Wax remake, Gothica.
I remember that being all right.
Yeah, the Orphan, Splice. Yeah. Splice. Then they kind of stepped a little bit away from horror, and it looks like we've got things like The Losers, Bullet to the Head, that Sylvester Stallone film.
By the way, I think Splice is on Netflix at the minute, and that's worth a watch. It's weird, which maybe reminds me. Which reminds me of another piece of news. David Cronenberg's son has a film coming out called Possessor or something.
Oh my god, yes.
And the trailer.
I think that was because the trailer dropped a week or so ago, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks insane. I mean, it's a really, really good trailer.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I was a bit like, oh, shit, that looks
good. It's giving me like Panos, I can't remember his surname, the guy who made Mandy, that sort of visual sort of sensibility.
It looks like a sort of a sci-fi horror, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
A weird. And it's got Andrea Riseborough, who's in Mandy.
Oh, there
as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's pretty good. She was the last thing I think I was going to say we, but I don't know if you've seen it. Last thing I saw her in was The Grudge, and that was The Shiter. Started this year.
The Shiter. I've been meaning to watch that guy's other films though. Piercing he made. And something else before he made The Grudge, Eyes of the Mother or something.
Okay.
Like
that. Oh yeah.
Which apparently
was. So is this? This is Brandon Cronenberg's first. No.
I don't know.
No, he's done a film called Antiviral.
Oh.
So
right.
I don't know whether it's a short film or a long one. But I've never seen it. But yeah, there we go. The fact that he's sort of doing horror films and what looks like body horror as well.
Quite Cronenbergian. Yeah,
very Cronenbergian, which I kind of he got to do, mate. Because otherwise you'd go, and it's Cronenbergian, and he's like, well, I don't make horror films.
Yeah.
Like lovely indie dramas.
These kind of films because of your dad? No? I don't think it's an influence me whatsoever. Yeah. This film's about a teleportation device and a guy gets mutated to a fly. Coincidence, mate.
Coincidence, mate. What a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Wait, what were we saying? So, who we got in this film? Jeffrey Rush, Barbossa, Famke Janssen, who we all know is Jean Grey. But she did a few things like this, where she's like playing an evil
Bond girl. She was an evil Bond girl, wasn't she?
Yeah.
In something. All I remember James is Bond, the scene where she tries to kill Pierce Brosnan by squeezing him with her legs. Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
I've been terrified of women ever since.
haven't gone near one. Since GoldenEye. What was the... she was in that Hemlock Grove as well. which wasn't particularly
good. Ah, yeah, but the very good. Werewolf shite.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that.
Tay Diggs. I know the name more than the person. Is
Hey Tay Diggs.
Hey Diggs.
Do you reckon he shows you around his digs? Check out my digs.
Yeah,
Tay Diggs is digs. That'd be a great show for him to helm.
Just.
Yeah. I remember him mainly from Equilibrium. He was like the other main dude, wasn't he, in Equilibrium?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Tay Diggs digs people's digs. Like, yeah, he goes Tay around, digs. He rapes people's... yeah, rapes people's digs.
And he could have another show where he likes, like, garden upkeep. Tay Diggs digs your digs.
Yeah.
It's the same title. Two different shows, same title. Confusing for some.
Pete Gallagher is Donald W. Blackburn. Oh, okay, this is Sandy from The OC, which we'll all know him from that. But his eyebrows seem much tamer in this film, I noticed. Chris...
Where do I recognise him from? I recognise him from something. I don't know if it is...
The OC, surely. I'm sure he's been in other things as well. Chris Catton is Watson Pritchett, who's like the... owns the house or is some sort of owner. He was a Saturday Night Live comedian, I think. I don't recognize him. He had a sort of Rick Moranis sort of quality to him there, I noticed.
Yeah, he did. That's a good point. He did. Glasses and kind of wild hand gestures and hair. Ali Larter's in this, and we pointed out when we were watching this that Final Destination is 3 years after this, where she plays a high school kid. And this film, 1999, she's playing like some sort of businesswoman.
You don't know that. Like, it's she might be putting that on, right? Is that part of the plot? Seems to remember then.
Yeah. I remember. So even as 3 years, like, she seems like a woman of maybe like mid-30s.
As soon as you see Ali Larter in a film, you're like, oh, this is a noughties horror movie. Like,
yeah.
Is she in one of the Resi films as well?
Yeah, so I think she plays Claire Redfield in the Resident Evil films. Maybe pops up in the third one and then sporadically throughout the franchise, I think.
Yeah.
She loves it.
Yeah. Bridget Wilson.
Bridget Wilson is the one with like the shit weird video camera.
Yeah.
Walking around going, this is a TV show. Yeah.
Carl Schechter. I don't recognize that guy.
Yeah, I think there's just a few more like random people.
Whoa, obviously we get Jeffrey Combs is in it. I don't even recognize. Oh, he plays the
He plays the doctor, doesn't he? Yeah.
Did not even recognize him.
Oh my god, no. No, I didn't. And now I think back to it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because I also saw him recently in what did I see him in? Saw him in something else. I've forgotten it.
Was it Ghost
The Frighteners. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
The Frighteners as well. As like the FBI agent who's like really, who looks like Hitler. He's got like a, and then it does turn out I won't go into that, but yeah. So he's in it. I mean, oh my God. So he's got a really minor role in this, which is kind of a shame. I don't think he says anything.
He does. If it's the first thing enough, he's at the end. He's the face of the Beast at one point.
I think he's just like a doctor, and he was one of the doctors who was there knocking about. I'm just gonna say Andy Conduit Turner, who joined us for last week's episode, said this was the first A-team related rated film he saw in cinemas. Maybe did he say that? I think he said that. Sorry if I'm misquoting you. And I think I saw this. I remember not being 18 when I saw it, being all bloody hell. But I had to watch this and being a bit like terrified. It's weird when you're terrified of films and you go back to them and you're a bit like,
yeah,
just a husk of a man. It doesn't affect you even slightly.
Yeah, bad. I'm like made of cardboard these days. There's nothing.
Yeah, you go, what's that? Gruesome murder. Someone's getting their body ripped apart into pieces. Seen it. I don't look very real.
Yeah. Although I'll tell you what, the last thing that did make me go was in this film, there is a moment. That made me go, right at the start, we get like the inmates of this psychiatric ward going crazy on the doctors and that. There's like a guy with some pencils.
Yeah.
And he gets like the pencils through the neck. And I was like, well, that's pretty gruesome. That got me a bit.
Oh, lead poisoning.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking was in Channel Zero, in the fourth season, there's a guy, at the end of the first episode, there's a guy gets stabbed in the head repeatedly like a screwdriver. And the effects were like very realistic. Yeah, we're getting pretty good at doing effects these days.
Did you hide?
I hid behind.
Yeah, they are.
The TV.
Sofa. You hid behind the TV, but then you could like see into the back of it.
Yeah.
Even worse. Even worse. Yeah. So, yeah, so at the start of this film, there is like a flashback to the 1930s, the Vannicut Psychiatric Institute for the Criminally Insane. And you can see there's like obviously various different experiments happening. There's a sadistic Dr. Richard B. Vannicut, who's like the main, who is Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah.
And I guess they're all doing a horrible, doing a load of horrible stuff to the inmates. And then there's like the patients start a revolt, they like start a fire, and then they attack and kill like the staff. But I think something happens where basically everyone there, staff, inmates, all die in like an inferno.
Yeah, it's like they're locked up or something, right? The whole place locked down.
Locked up. Yeah, I think when something bad happens, like all these big metal shutters come down and close, and you know, which is silly, really. So they, yeah, they all die.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, someone's bought that place, or some, or they've got it.
Just come up on the market.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great view. It's a weird looking building as well. It's kind of like
it looks like PlayStation 5.
It does look like the PlayStation 5 stuck into the cliff edge. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuck into a cliff edge. And when we're introduced to Stephen Price, played by Jeffrey Rush, he's like an amusement park man, mogul. He's got a really weird like marriage with Famke Janssen, who is Evelyn. They like properly hate each other to the point where they're obviously fucking with each other constantly.
Yeah, trying to get one over. But then I never quite know if they do actually care for each other. I mean, it's difficult to tell, but maybe not because Famke Janssen does. I don't know.
I just kept imagining them to turn around at one point and just go like, "Oh, I bloody love you." Well, I wouldn't change a thing. I know we're trying to get one over on each other, and we're basically trying to make each other jealous at every turn. But yeah, there's a pretty cool bit where obviously Stephen Price is introducing his new ride, and he goes up in a lift with a film crew, and then the lift malfunctions and drops.
Yeah,
and it's all part of the ride. The thing is, you go on that once, then you tell someone, and it won't be effective then, will it?
Yeah. It's probably why they haven't actually built one in real life. It's a lot of work.
There's a mad bit as well, isn't there, where they obviously set it up to make it look like one of the roller coaster cars is coming off the track.
Yeah.
And obviously the people see it, and they obviously shit their pants.
Do you recognize that roller coaster? It's part of the trivia, but
The Hulk roller coaster?
It is the Incredible Hulk roller coaster at Universal Studios. Yeah, as soon as it's up there, me and Kat were like, "That's one of our favorite roller coasters." Like it's a great roller coaster.
Amazing.
Yeah, but then they do.
Yeah,
they
so there's always got fake, where, fake yeah. bodies on the.
Yeah, that's not part of the actual roller coaster. Like one of the carts just like flies yeah. off the thing. Yeah.
I mean, that is terrifying. If you yeah. saw that and you really had no idea, oh my god! Well, if you what if you shout something like?
Oh, because you have to shout yourself. What if you shout?
What, if you shout yourself and then you shout something like you're on there with I don't know, someone next to you and you just go, right, I'm actually gonna die.
Yeah.
And then you just go, well, I don't know, anything. You could just, I've loved you all along.
Ah! They get a photo finish of that. They'll never forget.
I fucked a goat once. What?
Just you and the photo finish like this.
Yeah, fucked a goat. I had to tell
Do you want
someone.
That on a key ring, sir? No, I won't take that one.
Better not. How much? $15. Jesus. Yeah. Get out of it.
I'll leave it.
You ever see people at the amusement park at the theme park trying to take a photo of the screen with their There's no police in that. Like so someone go, no, you can't do that. There's no police in
that's
it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Phone cameras these days, you could just basically recreate yeah. it.
In Photoshop. So we get the idea that Stephen Price is a big prankster, like he elaborate prankster. He likes to scare the shit out of people. And then we're also introduced to Evelyn, his wife, who is supposed to be putting together some sort of guest list for this house, and he's got like it on a word processor. But then as he leaves, as he walks out of the room, the word processor starts changing the names for some other names.
Haunted word processor.
Yeah.
The scariest of the ghosts, I would say.
Yeah.
If a ghost has got access to your files, then where does it end?
Exactly. Yeah. So then it, like, all our guests pull up to the giant house, introduced to everyone. Everyone's got like an invitation. You spend a night in this house and you win $1 million. As they get to the gate, I can't remember his name. Pritchett?
Watson Pritchett. Great name. Two surnames there.
He's like the Matthew Lillard character in 13 Ghosts. Like, he knows what's up.
He knows someone ain't right.
Yeah.
So he's the owner of the building. He's like convinced this evil. I think he lived there as a child when it was like a private residence.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's bad juju. So yeah, this is Evelyn's like birthday party where basically however many five or six strangers turn up. And obviously she's convinced that it was Stephen Price's, he's playing a trick on her. He's kind of convinced that Evelyn's doing a wrong un.
I couldn't actually work out what is the party for? Why is people getting $1 million?
It's weird. So it's like, so it's Evelyn's birthday.
Yeah.
And it's taking a place at this house for some reason because Stephen Price has organised that. And I don't know. I think initially they were going to invite people they knew, possibly.
Yeah, but
to fuck with them. But then obviously now the building has haunted the word processor, sent out the invites to what looks like random strangers.
Yeah, but why is he giving $1 million out to people to stay the night?
Because he's obviously got some stuff set up. He's hoping that will make them leave. That'll make him go, nah, I can't be doing this. Right. Like, I think he's not involved in the killer house full of murderous ghosts.
But what did he have planned then? He's got a camera set up.
He got a skeleton coming out the wall. Skeleton covered in cobwebs.
He had some guns out the wall. He had some guns.
Oh, he did have guns.
And that's it. But they were blanks. But like, he didn't have any sort of spook moments.
I reckon he had a couple of fake spiders with batteries in them running around. And he had a man.
He was very, like, I mean, he was practically giving those $1 million away. Like, yeah. People aren't going to run away with like spooky spiders and stuff. Yeah. It's a good job. It's pretty haunted. It'd be bankrupt.
Yeah. If anything, they've done him a favour. They've saved. Yeah. I nearly murdered him, but they've saved him a few bob.
So anyway, as the everyone gets in the house. Everyone's like, everyone's as confused as we are. Like, what? He wants to spend the night in the house. That's fine. That much money. Sandy from the OC is drinking a cocktail pretty much from the get-go. Pritchett is drinking his head off as well. There's some like really overly theatrical introductory scenes between Evelyn and Stephen Price, both trying to act more suave and kind of dashingly evil than the other.
There's a bit right at the start, I just realised, where like a chandelier, or is it a glass window?
The glass window, yeah, breaks.
Falls in, and then Ty Diggs like saves Famke Janssen.
Yeah.
But like a massive horrible shard of glass goes into the ground and she's sort of like bleeding and stuff. Was that one of Stephen Price's weird tricks?
Don't think so. He was like, that wasn't nothing to do with me.
He was like, that was you, wasn't it, Famke Janssen? And she was like, no, it was you, Jeffrey Rush. Jesus Christ. Could be around these two.
She's like, get off me, you pervert, Tay Diggs, because
he saved her life.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone was getting covered in glass, but he went to her, obviously.
Yeah. He was just like,
later in the film, he picks up Ali Lotta by the bump cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
And like, he just like gives like a sly,
don't get any ideas. And he's like,
Yeah.
Basically, as soon as he got there, he's like, I'm going to rugby tackle Famke Janssen at the first instance that I can.
Yeah.
And I'm last window smashing.
Pick someone up by the butt cheeks. I don't know how he'd last in today's world.
No. Who knows? Former television personality Melissa Marr, who is played by Bridget Wilson, has got like a weird video camera and she's like filming everything, and she thinks it's going to be her big break, she can make it a reality TV show. Yeah. She's pretty annoying.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't know why at some point they decide, the lockdown shutters come down, so everyone gets trapped inside.
Lockdown. Lockdown, topical.
Exactly.
Lockdown shutters come down. We're all metaphorical shutters around all of our houses right now, Luke. All right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not really. I've been to the pub.
Picture. So everyone's trapped inside. I think the reason they go downstairs is because they're trying to find a way out, maybe?
I think they're just like, yeah. So not long after this, it's revealed that Stephen Price has got like a guy in a control room, like doing the knobs and the switches, and like. But then he goes and says like, "Oh, nice touch with the lockdown or something." Or didn't he say something like that? Or that wasn't in the agreement. He's like, "Well, me pal, that wasn't me." So obviously, then we realize something's wrong. But yeah, I don't know why, but for some reason they just all sort of split off and start investigating.
If he's like, "Nice touch with the lockdown." Now no one can leave. Now I'm going to have to spend all $6 million. $6 million. Why is that a good thing for him?
No, it's not. But basically, so I think people go off looking for what could be like a way out.
Yeah.
I guess a way out? Why would they want to leave at this point?
Because
you'd want to stay, wouldn't you?
Creepy. I mean, just because they're locked in. I mean, they're like instantly giving up on the game. But they go for a wander downstairs. I mean, if you look at the house on the outside, going downstairs isn't going to get you anywhere. It's just going to get you
I think maybe they're looking for a control. I think there's apparently a control panel
to unlock
the thing. Yeah. So they explore like the basement, and we get, who else do we get? So yeah, I think they find out that Ali Lotta isn't who she said she was. She's like the assistant of the person she said she is.
Yeah.
She's obviously like nicked that'd be difficult. If she won the million, then she's like, right, you got to claim it now, or I'm going to need all your details. And she's like, I'm not the person I said I was. Oh.
Yeah. She fixes
admin.
I mean, she just puts two wires together and reaches a hand into the wall, pops two wires together.
Oh my God. Yeah. On. It's like the weirdest horror, like you would never, an electrician's nightmare. That is, there's just like loads of stuff hanging out. Yeah, just put two wires together, fixed it.
No idea if it's all like live wires. Is there any ground wire in there? Who knows? Just shove it all together, see what happens. She like ties it into a little loop, just like a double knot.
That's fine.
Over the butterfly, through the goalpost, and we're done. Just like Dan used to teach me. Yeah. But then, like, we get a first spooky moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So Eddie is like just milling about, and
so, hey, Eddie, she kind of follows him.
Yeah. Say, Diggs, check out these digs.
Yeah.
Come and see if you dig these digs. And she follows him, and then he like falls into a, what looks like a big old tank of blood.
Yeah.
Gloopy. Very gloopy. And she obviously tries to save him. And then suddenly the real Eddie appears, so she realizes that the Eddie she's trying to save obviously ain't really there. And someone tries to pull her in.
It's all very, very spooky at this point.
Yeah. They're flirting big time, I thought, Eddie and Sarah. Like, they've literally just met. Literally just met. And they're making their proper... They're flirting at a serious 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how it worked in 1999. I'd be all flustered, I reckon.
Different world back then. Which is weird, because it's 20 years ago. So with the actual first death scene, I think, is actually really spooky. What's her face? Vanessa? Oh, yeah. Is it Vanessa? Is that even a name?
Waynetta. Waynetta Slob. What's her name? Melissa.
Okay, I was mixing up Vanessa and...
Melissa Margaret Marr, Triple M.
Okay.
She's basically like Triple H's what
mum.
Nemesis. Mum.
So she's like a true ghost hunter. She wants to get some footage for her TV show. She goes downstairs all on her own. I mean, it's creepy as shit anyway. I mean, I wouldn't be going down there, man. She sneaks down. She goes into this one room, it's like an operating theatre. Through her camera, she sees the ghosts of Jeffrey Combs and these people operating on this guy. And then she takes the camera away, and there's nothing there. Looks at the camera again, and then she sees them again. And then he all stops and turns to look at her. That's a creepy moment. Yeah. That's a really creepy moment.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then she just vanishes, right? Didn't she just like vanish?
She turns around and this thing like runs toward it. It looks like Rubber Johnny, you know, the Chris Cunningham Aphex Twin.
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Rubber Jelly. And then not long after that, Mr. Price goes back to see his little assistant again and finds him like with a hole in his face.
Yeah, his face is gone.
His face is gone. Yeah. I mean,
who knows what happened there?
That's the point. That's the point where you realize you're like, oh shit. Not going to plan here. I'd be convinced it was some sort of effect. I reckon I'd be poking around in his face for much longer than I should.
You know, I've gone a minute too long in this guy's face.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, it's probably hot.
What is it? What is it? Strawberry jam?
It's like someone's got ice cream scoop on his face. Just dig that out there. He also sees Jeffrey Combs on the TV, in the little CCTV camera, and he's walking really weird. Like he's sort of a glitching sort of computer program, and he's got like a
like a shit night crawler who can only go like an inch ahead at any one time.
Yeah. I guess this is when Vanessa disappears. Not Vanessa.
Evelyn. Yeah, so I think Evelyn goes missing, and then like all the lights start flashing and some crazy shit's happening. And I think they all sort of get down to this electroshock therapy place, and she's been electrocuted, and they all take ages to try and switch it off.
There was like a million switches in that room.
And they're like, every switch they press is making it worse.
Yeah.
Oh, that's more electrocution. Oh, damn. Oh, and more. So obviously, yeah, they eventually shut it off, but she's dead. Price goes a bit mad at this point, pulls a gun on the guests. They've all got guns as well. We've got to mention that they've all been given guns just for a laugh, I guess.
There's a bit earlier on, but after Melissa disappears, Dr. Blackburn, standing from the OC, is like drinking a cocktail glass or something, and Taye Diggs punches it out of his hand. And everyone's like really offended that he's punched this glass, and everyone's like, oh my god, what are you doing? And like, no one's bothered about like the dead woman or anything. It's the fact that he was very rude.
Yeah.
That's really shocked everyone. Yeah. Me and Kat are laughing quite hard at that.
And then not long after that, Price was like going a bit crazy, as you would if your wife's just been murdered. He gets locked in like this thing called the saturation chamber, which is like this weird thing that I guess is used to treat schizophrenics. And what have we got? Like, they're just spinning stuff, and he's kind of
so you inside a zoetrope.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, zoetrope. That's the one.
Yeah, but Dr. Blackburn puts him in there, and he's like, "Help me out!" It's like a weird little fisheye lens thing he's looking at. And he goes, I don't know which button it is, and then there's this lever that makes it worse.
Yeah,
he presses. Yeah, so yeah, that's this right. one. Better. Yeah.
Better or worse? A lot worse. What?
A lot better. Yeah.
A lot worse. Yeah. So he starts having like horrible hallucinations, obviously, where he's seeing all the ghostly apparitions from the place. From the place. I think he sees the doctor as well, Vanica, doesn't he?
Yeah. He has like a little haunting vision. And he slips into this water, and there's like a swimming woman with a mouth for a face. Like the visuals, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
They're not it's like. And there's another doctor who's got like a lizard face who's like doing that jittery thing.
Yeah.
It definitely swings for the fences.
Marilyn like, Manson music video thing.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. They've just gone. In fact, Marilyn Manson, his music is in this film twice. They're just like, I just really like Marilyn Manson music.
Marilyn Manson's killing it. His music is in like Resident Evil. I'm sure it's in like loads of other stuff.
His videos used to really scare me, actually. There's that video where. Because nobody's... That one. You know, like the...
Fight song?
No.
That one? No?
Nobody's, I think it's called. Wanna be somebody.
Oh, that one. Okay, I got you.
And it's got like the girls trying to run away or something, and they end up in pies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really creepy video. It's a good song as well.
I saw Marilyn Manson live once. Pretty sure he was fucked up in some way. Good times. So what happens next? I think Sarah and Eddie find this portrait in an office of like the hospital's staff, and that is where they start to deduce that all of the people who have been invited by the computer, by the haunted computer, are in fact descendants of the five survivors of the 1931 fire. Not sure that really happened. And apparently then Watson Pritchett then manages to work out that the spirits themselves hacked the guest list on Price's computer, which is obviously the next logical step you would take. And this is happening.
Yeah.
But the only name who's not there is Blackburn, the doctor. So the guy from the OC. And they're like, that's bloody strange.
Yeah.
And then obviously we get another reveal, a few stages of reveals. And then it's revealed that Blackburn is actually Evelyn's lover. Evelyn's alive. He injects her with something to bring her around. That's right, isn't it? So she's obviously initially was injected with something to slow her heart or stop her heart.
It's like a Romeo and Juliet sort of situation going on.
Yeah. So they faked her death. They're plotting to frame Price for the murders, hoping that one of the guests will kill him in self-defense. I mean, again, that's like a big hope, isn't it? It's like, hopefully one of the guests would go, ah, bang, bang, bang.
I mean, it does happen. So they were dead on, really.
But, they're bang on.
Yeah, she stabs. She's pretty cold-blooded, Evelyn. She stabs what's his face.
She should have done that thing from the Bond film where she squeezed him to death with her legs. That would have been impressive. I'd like that.
Yeah, or she could have gone Dark Phoenix. She's got a lot of moves. Yeah,
got all the moves. Okay. Yeah. So that happens. She kills him. And then she releases Price from the chamber.
She beheads what's his face.
Yeah, she cuts bloody Blackburn. I mean, that's a big. If that's the first person she's ever killed, right. Oh, right. We don't know her history. But then killing someone and cutting off someone's head is like a bloody.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. What I'm saying is, I couldn't do it.
Well, no. Hopefully, we never have to.
No, we have to. Might do it for. A laugh, just on a slow day. So she kills him. She lets Price out. He and then later, like Sarah and the others, like find him covered in blood with Blackburn's severed head nearby. and then he's going a bit nuts, and she like shoots him, doesn't she? She shoots him a few times in the chest.
Yes, but he's luckily,
like going. Luckily,
well, actually, I don't know, because maybe there were blanks in there, but I don't know, because one of them had a real bullets. But okay, well, they kill.
No one shot in the head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
No one shot
in the head, or legs, or arms.
Yeah, or
and then Evelyn like goes up to his body. Basically, she's gloating. She's basically saying, "I bloody beat you. You've already the one who's always got the tricks, but I'm the one with I've done a big trick." And then he wakes up. He's got a bulletproof vest on. And then they have a big old kerfuffle, a big old fight. He throws her through a door, WWE style, but the door is made of one ply.
Yeah, and throughout this whole film, they've been hinting at the darkness. It's just in this door, down the bottom to the left. Don't open that door because the darkness
is in there. The band are in there.
Justin.
Don't open a door because Justin, what's his name? Justin. Don't open the door, they're in there practicing. Don't be ever so mad.
She falls in there.
Justin Hawkins. Sorry.
Justin Hawkins, that's the one. Yeah. I can't remember it. She falls in there, and then this darkness, I mean it is just darkness, moves across the thing towards, but even now. Price is like, Evelyn. I know his voice. Evelyn.
Evelyn. I'm a little busy at the moment.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. So he gets her, this shadowy...
It's like all the ghosts from the house. Everyone who's died in the house comprised into this big blob.
Yeah.
Ghostly cloud of
people.
It's
like a Rorschach test that's come to life. It's like a...
That's a good one. And it seems to
read that somewhere.
It seems to suck people in, even if they've literally just died, and suddenly they're in the cloud going, "Come here."
yeah, doing their best spooky voices. Booga booga boo.
Booga booga booga. Ah, yes, it's me who died 5 seconds ago. Already an evil ghost.
Yeah. So it starts to it was going towards them so slowly. I was just like, just peg it. It's like running away from a snail at this point. Everyone's like looking at it going, "Oh my god," and just standing there, and it's just like creeping across the floor. It's one bit like
so fast.
It turns like the house has like teeth. The end of the corridor starts to morph, and I was like, that's pretty cool. They should do more of that. They didn't do any more of that.
They were like, that's just like they had one trick and that was it.
Ran out of house gags. Yeah.
So it consumes Evelyn, and again, consumes her, and then suddenly she's already part of the darkness. And then I think it kills. Who does it kill next? Pritchett?
Pritchett, he opens the door.
Yeah, that's it. And it just drags him in. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. And then what?
Well, they run away. They run into the attic.
That's it.
Tay Diggs, A. Lutter, and Jeffrey Rush run into the attic. Jeffrey Rush manages to open the shutters just by wanging some stuff around, and he wangs his thing just the right place, and it unlocks the windows. So then they're trying to get out. They're really dragging it out by this point. Lots of slow motion. The windows open. Tentacles are trying to close the window thing so no one gets out.
Yeah.
I mean, Ali Lata gets out. But Tay Diggs is locked in, but then he's saved because Catan's.
Well, first of all, he says something like, "I'm adopted. I'm not a true descendant of the original staff." And then there's a weird bit, where like Pritchett's ghost appears, like separate from the darkness, and like he's going, "I'll open the shutter for you. Don't worry." It just is a bit odd.
It's odd.
I was like, "Oh, what a good! He's a good guy, is he?"
Jeffrey
he's
Rush
a good guy.
Saves. He sacrifices himself as well to save Ali Lata.
That's right. Yeah.
So he was never a bad guy in the end, I think you're trying to say.
Maybe not.
Just like to fool
people. And there we go, that kind of happens. That happens then the classic end of not even just like a early 2000s horror, but early 2000s action film and early 2000s anything is that there are two people left, sun's rising, they're all relaxed and ready for the new day, and it's like what now? How the fuck do we get down from here? Some shit like that. And do they say that?
Yeah, well, in Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea, yeah, that happens with LL Cool J. And then they find an envelope on the ledge which contains all five checks made out to cash for the million, for the millions. And they're really up high. It's really windy, but they're probably like going, whoa!
I was
really worried, like, be careful.
I mean, there's no way they're getting down, I'm afraid to say. Like,
no.
Unless a helicopter passes by for some reason.
The next movie is like a single location horror film of people stuck up on a high ledge.
Yeah.
Similar to that film where people got stuck in a ski lift. Remember that?
Frozen. I've not seen it.
It's called Frozen, It's called Frozen. Great.
Okay, man, I've got some trivia for you.
Sweet.
Number one, who was Jeffrey Rush trying to look like in the film? Is that a real sentence? Who was Jeffrey Rush trying to look like in the film?
Vincent Price, right?
No, he was never meant to look like Vincent Price, star of the original film House on Haunted Hill.
Oh!
The original screenplay describes Stephen Price as a regular-looking businessman. Rush didn't care for this, so he suggested that his character look like the film director John Waters. The director agreed to test it out. And after the transformation, he ended up looking more like Vincent Price than the director.
Yeah.
And director,
I suppose he does look a little bit like John Waters.
It's just a moustache, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. That's literally it, isn't it? Add that to anyone and you go, oh, John Waters, yeah.
Number two, which gothic rock star was also considered for the role of Dr. Vanekut?
Marilyn Manson?
Yeah. He's got his fingers in all the pies, this movie's pies. Number three, we've already done this one, but we couldn't resist it. What is the roller coaster featured at the beginning of the movie? It's the Incredible Hulk.
Incredible bloody Hulk, mate.
Universal's...
I think it's just because it was green. That was the only way I've not been on it. You've been on it, yeah?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really good. that bit where it goes through the little tube and it suddenly shoots off, that's you're Hulking out and then it shoots you out, and that's when you've gone full on hulked out and you it's really cool. Sick. Yeah. And 13 Ghosts were the first films made by Dark Castle Entertainment, who took their name from which filmmaker?
Mr. Castle. What's his name?
You got it. It's on the tip of your...
It's William Castle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the tip of your William Castle. Yeah.
on the tip of your William Castle.
Number five. The movie was nominated for Worst Remake at the 1999 Stinkers Bad Movie Awards. Stinkers Bad Movie Awards. But lost to what other haunting movie?
A whole category for Worst Remake. Well, this came out the same year as The Haunting, didn't it? So, gotta be that.
It is The Haunting, yeah.
The Haunting of the Hill Houses. The Haunting on the Castle of the Hotel. American Horror Story. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well done. You got them all right.
Sick.
Need to rate the film. I was actually going to go in a bit lower, but I think I'm gonna zhuzh it up a little bit, but not a massive amount. I think
you're gonna zhuzh. I'll let you go first then if you're gonna zhuzh.
Well, I was thinking of a solid C-, but now that I think about it, I quite like going in for nostalgia reasons, because I remember this being one of the first horror movies I watched. I don't know how old I was, 12 or something when I first watched this. And I remember liking it. So it was nice to go back. It's still got some cool spooky moments, and it really does swing for the fences, which is really appreciate. But it's still not a great film. So I'm gonna go for a C+.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I'm kind of with you there. As I was saying, like, if I was going to compare it to those other films, like 13 Ghosts and Ghost Ship, which are obviously similar, I think on average, 13 Ghosts, we gave it a D.
Yeah.
A D. And I think it is better than that in a way. Like, it's a more well-rounded kind of film. Even though 13 Ghosts has got some good ghosts.
It does, yeah.
This kind of feels like a better film in total. So... I'll probably go for a C minus as well. As well? Did you do a C minus?
C plus, though, I'm in the end.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll do a C minus because it's not... Yeah, I think it's marginally better than 13 Ghosts and Ghost Ship, but it's probably, again, I've not seen it for quite a few years. I probably wouldn't want to watch it again for another few years.
Yeah.
Until I've forgotten it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Cool, man. Okay, have you got anything else you want to tell people before we go?
No. That's nothing else, I think. Do we know what we're doing next week?
I don't know.
Next week, or are we doing a fortnightly?
I think we'll drop to fortnightly for the time being, if that's all right. Yep. We had like a list of films.
There are a few that we kind of need to cover, I believe, because I think we've done a fairly good cross section of horror classics, but I think there's still a few more that we need to cover. As I mentioned before, we haven't done Friday the 13th. We haven't done a few more Universal. We haven't done like The Mummy, The Wolfman, and...
You mean the originals?
The originals, yeah. We haven't done that. Seeing as you mentioned Splice and said it was on Netflix, how does that tickle your pickle?
I've not seen it in a long time.
Because that's a weird one, isn't it? That is a weird one. That might be something fun to do.
Cube, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I think if I make a mini list of like the big gaps, I mean, obviously, there's still going to be absolutely loads more to watch in future episodes. But I'll make a mini list which cover like the gaps, I guess, that we're kind of missing. And then we try and work our way through that.
Sure.
Might be good. Give us some direction. But yeah, 2 weeks. Until the next episode. Sweet.
Cool. Right, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating and reviewing, and remember to hit subscribe or join the Facebook group Horror Hangout Board Advisors. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror dude.
Thank you very much, Luke. It's been a pleasure.
Cool. Ta-ta.
See you next time.